Welcome to the Chris Brainerd Show, powered by 8 Performance and Fitness, where we deep dive into how you can live a more passionate, fulfilled, and loving life by focusing on your health, fitness, and personal development. Thanks so much for tuning in, and here's your host, Chris Brainerd.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Chris Brainerd here, host of the Chris Brainerd Show. We are back with episode number 10. Got an awesome guest for you guys. He is actually the CEO and co-founder of Cardo Max Supplements, where they help people achieve their max with liquid-based supplements. He's also the CEO at Matbox, former Navy SEAL and a veteran entrepreneur, and he's going to bring a ton of insights, not only into the physical side of things, but also the mental side. Being a former Navy SEAL, this guy has kind of done it all, and so I'm super excited to have him on the show to bring you guys tons of value, tons of insights that you guys can take and apply it to your real life. So Sean Mattson, great to have you, man. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Sorry, it's taken us a little bit of time to get reconnected on it, and I know we talked about it a while back, but glad to be here today. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. We'll kind of give the listeners, some background and a little more detail on kind of who you are and what you do, man.
Yeah, sure. So graduated from Virginia Military Institute here in Virginia. I swam there. I was a D1 swimmer, primarily butterfly. So I did the 200, 400 IM and 100 and 200 butterfly. Then joined the Navy right after that in 2005. And did 10 years active, another 3 years in the reserves. During my active duty time, I got to do 5 deployments. I did 3 to Iraq and then 2 to Africa. And then I got to do a couple of presidential details all across, plus a bunch of different other little missions here or there that got to be a part of. So it was great. I had a blast for those 10 years. And then, like I said, I did another 3 years in the reserves. But during the time that I was active, actually, my business partner, Zach, and I, we started Matbox in 2010 as just an idea, wanting to get a product manufactured, not really sure how to do it, kind of had it kind of working. And it took us a few years to get that finally onto the market. But we really wanted to be a catalyst and a pathway for guys that are in the military or law enforcement or first responders to take these ideas and technologies and bring them to the market. So now we've created that roadmap for them to be able to do that through Matbox or some of our subsidiaries and others.
Okay. Awesome. And when did you kind of kick off Cardo Max?
So Cardo Max just started. We started January. We started with a soft launch right around Christmas timeframe, just kind of generating some buzz about it, saying, hey, here's what it is. If you want to get early access to it, here's what it is. But we didn't start shipping our first product till after the first of the year, January 1, 2021. So really been excited to see the growth that we were already seeing and also just people's feedback of it. So.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I really want to kind of talk to you, man, and dig deep on your kind of Navy SEAL experience. Obviously that's such a physical demand, but also I think the mental side of it too. And I think we can all learn a few things about that. So kind of talk about that experience as a whole and kind of what you learned from it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a physical aspect of it, but really it's more mental than anything. And it is with everything. Your body will do anything that you tell your mind to do it. And it's overcoming, however you want to call it, but the inner bitch voice, the inner mind, whatever you want to call it really, but, it's overcoming those, or sometimes listening to that voice, right? Like it's telling you, hey, keep pushing. And you're like, all right, I gotta keep pushing this. Other times it's like, man, just give up. It'll be a lot easier. Or like, hey, coach isn't looking right now. Skip out on that last set and just count it and be good with it, right? It happens. We all do it. We get into a tough set on something and you're like, oh, that was 5 and it was really only 4, right? Or whatever. And it's just because you don't want to and you let your mind trigger that. And it's knowing to just push that through. And, sometimes it even feels good when you hit the fifth and you do another one to be like,
Yeah. So I know, like, some people will kind of think, you know, like, that follow the mental side of things. Like, they think, you know, that's like foo-foo, but that's, I mean, that's a real thing. Like, you're kind of retraining your brain, and like, you know, when something, when an obstacle comes up, or like you have those mental, that mental chatter inside of your head, you're, you know, you are like, you know, kind of pushing that aside and pushing through it. So that I mean, that's a real thing.
No, absolutely. I mean, and it's even to teaching kids. Like, I have three kids now. I've got one on the way in August. So here in about a month. But, you know, I mean, I teach my kids all the time. Like, you know, if they say, hey, I can't do something, like, hey, I can't do this, I'm like, no, say that again. Like, all right, I'll try, Dad. Right. You know, like, it's just giving them that reassurance, like, go try it. Right. You don't have to love it. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to do it ever again, but go try it. Just, you never know. Like, I mean, from trying new foods to, you know, trying to lift something or run somewhere or do something. But, you know, the fact that, you know, your first instinct is to say you can't do it, you're not going to do it. Right. And that's with anything. And, you know, I mean, even when I tell my kids, like, go into, like, if they know that they're not a strong reader or they're not good at math, right? Like, go into a test, be like, I'm going to crush this test. I know that I am smart enough to be in this class, and I'm going to do this, and just giving that positive reinforcement to it, so that you don't go into it on a back step of stuff. And you don't have to go into those situations cocky. I mean, obviously the fight just happened with Conor McGregor and Pierre, right? And so you have someone like that arguably could be probably the best in the world at fighting, but I think, you know, what's his name? Tim Grover said it best. It's like, he can't win because he lost that, and he hasn't gone back to face those demons. And it's with all of us. Like, I know for me right now, like, if I try to go back through Buds right now, like, I'm not in that same mindset, right? Like, it would be a lot harder to go through Buds than it was for me years ago. Not because of my age, but because of my mindset, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've already been through that. So, like, there's a lot of times that something comes up and I'm just like, I really just don't even want to do it, right? Because I don't want to put my mind through and my body through that hell and see those demons that I had to go through for 6 months, because I've been there. It sucks. And that's the only way to get back to it, is just, you know, kind of shutting up and just putting in the work.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, if you don't mind, man, what was like the craziest thing you guys did, like, as Navy SEALs? Like, what was, you know, what was like the experience? Tough experience.
Yeah. One time that was like, so we were in Nevada, and we had all the guys. And so we're patrolling to the top of this mountain. And it's deep snow, really cold. And but like my chief and I looked at each other and we're like, hey, if we're gonna do this in real life, right, that's the thing we have to go do. And we knew that we weren't gonna have the glass, like we weren't gonna have the optics to be able to complete the mission. But we also wanted to show, like, the training cadre, like, there's a deficiency in our gear, right? So we made the guys in the middle of the night suck it up, where we're carrying 60, 80 pounds each of extra gear on us. And we literally just knees and hands, and just literally just kind of climbed to the top of this hill to get to it. Get to the top. And the next day, like I said, they had trackers that were going to be, so we had 24 hours. The trackers were going to launch 24 hours after us, to try to track us down and find us where we were at. Right. And, we're already at top. We're already starting to do our mission, trying to take the pictures that we need to, and take, you know, the simulated shots that we were going to. And I mean, it was like negative 25 degrees up there. It was so cold. The guys were freezing at night, just miserable. And the first night, and it was that way for 3 days. Like I said, we were out there. But the next day, we're up there and we're like looking down and we're seeing like the couple of guys, the trackers, coming up. And I didn't know who they were, but, you know, I knew that, you know, they were the training cadre guys. And so they get up to us. And the one guy, his name's Wally, was like, he's like, He's like, I fucking knew it. I knew it was your platoon, Sean. He was like, I just knew it was you and Chris. Like, you're sitting here. And he was like, I looked up at the mountain. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, those guys climbed that thing last night. We got up there. It was kind of like the guys hated it, but then they also like, they got that like kind of reassurance of from the cadre, like that was the right thing to do. So, that was kind of a fun thing, but also kind of, it sucked because, you know, like I said, we were out there for multiple days and we saw the morale in the platoon really, really dip down. And again, like anything, we try to make it fun too. So one of my guys, we bet him $10 to eat a cow patty as we were coming down. So he ate that. We got a video of it, and so it was a good time. Everyone started laughing, so it was all good again.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was it like what's that mountain show on Netflix or whatever with like Jimmy Chan, where they're like climbing you know, whatever that big like mountain is in Argentina or something? What's do you remember?
I've seen what you're saying, yeah, but I can't think of the name of the mountain.
It was just
miserable, but like I said, I mean the guys saw you know, saw the purpose behind it more importantly than anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, man, because obviously like Navy SEALs, like, you know, I feel like, and you know, you guys like focus on execution, like almost like simplifying things, right? Like you have a target, you got a plan, and then you got to execute, you know, and stay disciplined. Like talk about the whole like mindset around that. And just like how important that is, you know, not only for you guys, but like just everyone in real life in general.
Yeah. So the reason SEALs are SEALs and other guys aren't really comes down to mastering basics. It really does. Like, if you want to be good at shooting, you have to do it over and over and over and over again. And so it's that repetition to something. And so they would beat in your head mastering those basics. So like we would go to the range and we would literally do pistol draw, just drawing your pistol. We wouldn't even shoot. We would just literally draw our pistol thousands and thousands of times. All right. Hey, does everyone feel like they've got a good, you know, pistol draw? Okay, yes. Now it was like pistol draw and present. And then so like you're adding another element to it. And so then it's like pistol draw, present, squeeze. So you're just building. So like, you know, people have heard the crawl, walk, run thing and stuff like that. But like we would do that until literally you're mentally exhausted by doing the same movement over and over again. When someone could be like, they turn off the lights or they close your eyes and say, okay, now do it. And you do it the exact same way that you were just training yourself to do it, mm-hmm. you know, with lights on and everything. So, but everything progresses on that foundation of you got to master the basics first. And then we're going to inject things that are more difficult. So the first time you go in and you join a team and you go clear a house, for example, right? The first thing you learn how to do is first thing, obviously you learn how to shoot, but the first thing you learn how to do is just clear a room or clear a section of a room, right? And then it's, okay, now we're going to clear the room. Now it's going to be learning how to clear the hallway. Now it's going to be how do you clear the whole house. And then the next time you do it is, hey, we're going to clear this whole house, but we're going to be quiet. No one can say anything. You have to use hand and arm signals, or you have to just read off of the person in front of you. So if he goes left, you're going right. Or if he does this with his barrel nod, you need to do this. Like it's just all choreographed mm-hmm. so that then when they're like, okay, now we're going to introduce nighttime, so you're under goggles, and we're going to have people shooting back at you. So now it adds a whole, you know, like all these other things to it. And oh, by the way, you've got these people out here, you got these people, and all these other external noises and things that come in to distract you. You have to focus on the next thing right in front of you is like, okay, this is my next step. This is my next step. I can't let this bother me right now. I have to focus on this, and this. Because it's a process. And if I slip that, someone, everybody knows what everyone else's next kind of move is or next three moves are. So if you go out of that and like go rogue on something, for example, you just threw off everybody in that. So it applies to so much. Like, I mean, that's what I do in business. When I'm sitting here thinking of all the different things I have to do, I break it down to the simplest form is like, I need to tackle this before I can move on to this. I need to tackle this before I go to here. And I know it sounds kind of boring, but I mean, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it kind of, you know, in our case here, you know, at AP Fitness and Performance, like it's like an exercise, like progression, right? Like, you know, when someone comes in, we don't just start them on like a back squat, you know, which is, you know, maybe like the more advanced version of a back squat. You know, they need to like body weight squat and they can move to like goblet squat. But like owning each kind of like part of the movement and the system of the movement and constantly like progressing in chunks. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely see how that's relatable for sure.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it applies to so many different things, exactly like what you were saying. I mean, that's how you become, you know, the best at something. You master that simple basic of it and then you'll become the best at it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hitting on Tim Grover, man. Like I know he talked about in his book with like Kobe and Michael, like those guys, like they just did, I mean, every single day they invested time and effort, whether it was like in the basketball gym or in the weight room, like they did something to better themselves, you know, every single day, you know, and then you look at those.
Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Yeah. There's no one probably better than those two, in terms of basketball. So yeah, man, we'll talk a little bit about like your experience as a veteran, man, and kind of how that shaped your beliefs and kind of where you are today.
Yeah. The biggest thing for us is our team here. You know, with the different entities, Mapbox got almost about 40 employees. Okay. And so we're really working to ensure from, you know, from executive level down to, you know, the lowest person here, the brand new hire that just joined the team. Everybody feels welcomed, but also understand that, you know, they're responsible for their job. And I don't really like business titles or you know, positional titles of stuff. Like, yes, I'm the owner. And yes, that person is the, you know, general manager, for example. But we really rely heavily on accountability and of those responsibilities that you're in charge of. So, you know, you might be the general manager, but you're also really good at marketing, for example. Well, you might be the final say in our marketing decisions, even though we have a marketing person who runs the day-to-day things. But like, ultimately, the decision might rely on you or fall back on you if the marketing team's not doing what it needs to be doing because of we found that that's really your best kind of use of your talents and you know, your sphere of influence or whatever you want to call it in that. And so, you know, I don't really like it to just be like, well, it's mine because that's my job. And we really took that from the teams because there's times where, you know, your job in a platoon might be, I'm the lead sniper, but you also have a lot of experience in breaching, for example. You were a breacher for the last four platoons or something like that. But right now I need you as a sniper. Well, we would still rely heavily on that guy that had all that experience in breaching. We might put a more junior guy in that breaching position as the head of breaching for the platoon because we want him to get that experience. But we also hope that and he should rely on that experience of, again, that the guy who's the lead sniper. And so, you know, it's just understanding that just because it might not be your title, and things that you can have the accountability because it's, you know, because you already understand how to do that position.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sean, talk about, I'm big on like routines and things like that, man. Talk about, do you have any like, you know, morning routines, evening routines? Obviously as an entrepreneur, I mean, you know, a lot of it's, you know, preparation on the day to day. You know, do you have any kind of like routines that you've found that have been, you know, very helpful for you or something that you've stuck with for the past, you know, X amount of years?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me is making sure, like you said, scheduling out things. So I really rely on my calendar. I really try to put everything in my calendar, from working out to dates with my wife, everything like that. I try to schedule time like that. That way, if something goes wrong, for example, this morning I had 2 hours blocked off for certain things that I wanted to get done. And I got in and none of those things got done because I had something else come up. So I was able to very easily, without stressing myself out, I could just grab those blocks and move them over to another day and just say, okay, hey, I'm going to take care of that this day. Okay. Because as entrepreneurs, I mean, you always have more things on your plate than you can physically handle in a day. And, you know, and it's just understanding that there's always work to be done, and you just have to balance that. I hate that work-life balance idea, because yeah, there's no such thing of it. Like it, for me, it means you're only putting 50% into something, or, you know, 20, 20, 20, whatever you want to do. But as soon as you put something in balance, that means that it means that something, everything is equal. So yeah, I hate that term. And I always focus, like for me, I hyper focus on things. So if, like I said, this morning, one of them was, I had to work on one of our, like the PPP loan stuff, the documents and all the stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so like, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to block off time for that, then I'm going to hyper focus on that task right there and not focus on anything else right at that point. And that's like, this is what I got to accomplish. And I'm going to put 100% effort into that and not, you know, 80-20 or something. So I'm a real firm believer in that. So when you talk about routines, I try to have just a own my day routine, where it's like every day I know what I got to do. I'm trying to maximize it as much as possible by filling up my calendar with things that I have to do, so that when things come out of nowhere, I can easily move those around, take care of what I need to, if it's an emergency or whatever it might be, there's someone, hey, I need time. Or, you know, sometimes with that, if they ask for time and I'm like, no, hey, I've got this going on for the next 30 minutes. I can see you in 30 minutes. How about that? You know, so it's just understanding when to, and making sure you own that calendar and don't let the calendar own you.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you a fan of like scheduling like your day the night before, or do you kind of do like when you get in the office in the morning, or how do you like to do that?
No, I try to do it the night before or a couple of days in advance. You know, I try to do it before that day. Sometimes it doesn't work out as it is, but you know, for the like last night, I scheduled out today. I had everything all scheduled out for today already. You know, I have some things scheduled out for tomorrow, but I need to finish scheduling everything out for tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I find like it's, in terms of like stress levels and stuff like that, if I do it the night before, it's like, it's a total game changer, and I can like, you know, just, you know, whenever I get home, I'm like relaxed, and you know, I can kind of be present with whatever I'm doing. I'm not thinking about, oh man, tomorrow, like I got to do X, Y, Z. You know, I've already kind of got it on paper. I've got a plan, and you know, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, cool, man. Well, Sean, I know you got to run, man. I know you got another call coming up. Where can people learn more and follow you on social media?
Yeah, sure. So I'm at just Sean.Matson, Sean.Matson. Basically on all the different platforms, Instagram, Facebook, others, LinkedIn. And then from there, I've got links to the different companies that we've got going on and stuff. So,
okay. Awesome, man. Well, I definitely appreciate you, making the time, man. I know we talked about it when you came in with Chris and worked out. Yeah. Summer kind of hit and got busy, but, you know, appreciate your service, man, to our country and everything that you're doing. So, really greatly appreciate that. And like I said, man, appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on the podcast.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, Chris. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it, Sean.
All right, see you.
All right, man. See you.